Welcome. Welcome back, my friends. Uncommon, the podcast, is back. Thank you for joining me. Those of you who are joining live, those of you who are tuning in after, I'm very glad to be back, and I'm very glad to welcome my guest, Jesse Herman, founder and CEO of Let's Go Finance. And I kind of stumbled across Jesse when I was reaching out, trying to find people who I could work with on a project to sort of build around a person every avenue I could find to help them maximize what they're doing. And a mutual friend of ours connected us. And when I went to check out your project, Jesse, when I went to check out letsgo.finance, I found a tool that you had been creating that answered a number of questions that I had been trying to answer and in ways I thought were just brilliant. I told you in the message I sent you that you answered the questions in the way I would have answered them. And so what I thought was, why not get in touch with this guy? Let's have a meeting. And then during the course of that meeting, we talked about having a podcast, and I've been meaning to bring my podcast back for some time, and I thought this was a great opportunity just because of the potential I see with Let's Go. So with that kind of sparse introduction, why don't you fill us in a little bit more on who you are, what you do, what the project is, and why people should be interested in it, and we can take it from there.
Hey, Chance. Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. You've been very kind on social media and promoting what we're doing, and I really appreciate that. And thanks for having me on the show. Yeah. So essentially, I'm a publisher. That's what my passion is publishing. What I've really done well with over the years is putting teams together and producing content, and that generates, attention and working with clients. I've worked in the influencer space, I guess you would call it, in the last like 6-7 years. We've produced many thousands of videos, 20 billion video views, most of back in the glory days on Facebook. Ran one of the top political pages on Facebook, the top alternative health page. And of course, all of that got taken away from me by Facebook and other social media sites. It wasn't just Facebook, but all that was taken away. And that is the classic. I feel like it was a bait and switch. We put thousands of hours, hundreds of thousands of dollars into these projects through employees, through advertising. And then once we build up these empires of 13 million followers, of, billions of video views, sometimes like in a month, right? We were getting 1 million clicks per day on 2 different blogs. 2 different niches at one time. And then Facebook just completely eliminated one of my clients from social media. We did nothing wrong. We did not break any rules. And then the other one, they just completely, hamstrung the reach. We couldn't reach our following anymore. And we had to change our business model. And I went in a different direction. So, people have been playing this game with social media for a while now. And, it really, really makes me angry. And I like to try to harness my negativity and turn it into a positive force. And in October, November, I had this idea because I was participating on decentralized finance platforms in the crypto industry, called DeFi platforms. Essentially, you can deposit money or stake money or coins and earn yield or interest back, a percent back. And I did really well with it. I did really well with it. One coin in particular, I just like staked a coin for like 3 weeks, like a few thousand dollars worth of this coin, which for some that's a lot, but it really isn't a lot. And that value for me ended up being like, at one time it got up to like $60,000. And that I earned for free, this other token. And then I was like, well, that's awesome. So that was cool. But then there's this whole thing about Patreon, and people got mad at Patreon. And I've always kind of thought, like, what is a real Patreon alternative? There's people that have created parallel structures to Patreon, which is great. I'm glad they did that. That needs to happen, continue to happen. But the problem is they still rely on credit card companies and PayPal, essentially the big banks, which is the problem with everything. You know, they are the rulers over us. The big banks rule over everything, including Congress and the Senate, the presidency and everything. So that I just connected the idea of, instead of just depositing money on yourself, what if you could deposit money on an influencer, an artist, a charity, a church, a community of any kind? It could be a town, a township, a city, and you can organize it where you can split the yield, you can split the interest. So it's a whole new way to donate, and everybody's happy. And when you're done depositing the money, or what we call in crypto staking the money, you can remove 100% of the funds. So it actually costs you nothing. Me personally, as somebody that's, you know, addicted to crypto, like, I prefer this way to donate. It, for me, it's a better way to donate. For other people, it might not be. But if it's a better way to donate for me, I know that in the crypto industry, especially people that participate in the DeFi sector, which is over $100 billion industry now, it's a better way to donate for them too. They have billions of dollars worth of USDC, USDT, BUSD, all tied to the dollar, sitting around, and they can stake that and earn 5% to 10% yield. And in addition to that, and so there's really no risk there unless the dollar just collapses, which, you know, whatever, then everybody's screwed. But you know, like, you can stake that, because what I hear from people is like, oh, well, I'll stake a token, but that's a high risk, go down 80% overnight. Well, you don't have to stake a token. You can stake a stable coin, and then you get the 5% yield. On top of that, we pay out the EGO token, the EGO token, which is our token, as like a thank you. It's like a reward. So I don't know. There it is, the EGO token. It's the rewards token that you get, which is also used for community governance and also used to mine other tokens. So there's different use case for it to give it value. And so that was the premise. Now, in addition to that, we have, and I'm going to confuse the heck out of people probably, but essentially you can create your own tokens on our platform. And so we have these different staking cards on, you know, we have like the USDC, Binance coin, like Cake token, like we have these different tokens that you can stake. Well, we have it when you set up your account, like in your profile, you can choose which tokens display. You might not like a token. You don't want to display the token. But you'd be like, well, why don't you display all the tokens? Because it'd make you more money. Well, because we offer social tokens where people can create their own token. So if a church creates a token, this might not be the best example, but whatever. So I just said, if a church creates a token, then a network of synagogues will not want to display the church token, right? Like a Christian church. So like they would deselect that. And then so you want the tokens to display to be within your own network, or there's a rap community or a rock, you know, star community or whatever. Like there could be a league, like a sports league, like the Big Ten, the SEC. The SEC wouldn't display the Big Ten tokens, right? So that is never been done before. That is like the most epic thing ever, to be honest. And everybody gets their own decentralized platform. You have your own URL. You can have your own template. It's not about us. We can integrate with anything. We're developing a tool so you could throw like a widget on a WordPress blog and the staking cards appear. And like, so we can appear anywhere, anytime. We could go on existing social media sites. We can go on existing donation sites. We just provide an alternative for those platforms and the subscribers, the users on their platform. So we want to be used by everybody, as many people as possible. And we didn't create the platform to be just about us. We created it so, like, yeah, you sign up, you actually have your own DeFi platform. You can actually create your own token economy with a network of other token economies that you are like-minded with and share some kind of motivation with. So that's what we've created. And the great thing about what we've created is it launched. Like, this is not hype. It's not something that's like, yeah, we're going to raise like $10 million and then it's done. No, it's done. So we just need to get the word out about what we've created, because it's an actual product that, again, is a whole new way to donate that's never been done before. So that's where we're at. We launched yesterday. I was not feeling well at all yesterday. I'm a little bit better today. So I think I'm doing okay here. If I start coughing, excuse me, but yeah, like that's what we've done. And, the thing is this, like, admittedly, we don't have like these huge partnerships right now. Admittedly, we don't have a $10 million marketing budget, but when we talk to people about this product, Chance, I would put you in this category. And there's several others. Like, some people get it right away and get really excited. And like, that for me is all I need. There's thunder, by the way. I think we'll be okay, but I'm in Florida, so there's thunder. But yeah, that really motivates me, motivates the team to see this reaction from people where they're like, wait, this is a real solution. Like, these are recurring donations. You don't have to go through PayPal and the big banks, and you actually could potentially make a truckload of cash, you know, right? I mean, it's possible. And the other thing I love about this platform is, yeah, we have the ego token, but I don't even care about people buying the ego token. I want people to earn the ego token by participating on the platform. Of course, you can buy the ego token. I'm not going to complain. I'm just saying, like, you should earn. The whole point of the platform is it's a whole new way to donate. So in crypto, it's kind of hard to get through to this with people. Like, hey, people are already like, what's going on with the price? The price has gone up. We just launched yesterday. But like, you know, what's going on with the price? What's going on with this? What's going on with that? I was like, yeah, can you confirm that you stake money on the platform before you start talking about the token? Because I really want everybody to participate. And once we get enough people participating, then all the influencers, all the artists will start making really good money on the platform. And then they're just going to naturally promote it just like they would promote a Patreon account. It's not like they have to pump a token. They're just pumping the profile. They're pumping themselves. So that's the goal. And it's time to just go hard at it.
Okay. So there's a lot of ground just covered there, and that's great. Kind of sets the frame and everything. Sure. And in talking about your project with friends and associates and things, here's the number one probably concern I get brought up, or gets brought up to me, is okay, that's a great idea, but so for example, some of the things that you just said are features that are coming, right? And some of them are features that are live right now.
They're live right now. Every feature I just mentioned is, I think, live right now.
So I can make my own, I can make Uncommon Coin or something like that.
You can make it now. To create your own token, you do have to go through approval with us, because we don't want a bunch of shit coins like scams on our platform. So there is, and we also have to like deposit the tokens. Like, there's a process. We're not trying to like, so there is some coordination with us, but it's not, this is easy. This is like, it won't take long if you're a good candidate for it. And you know, you will have use case even outside of our platform, right? Like, it's not just like we give people instant use case on our platform, but like, what else, what's the purpose of this token, right? Mm. So we don't want to create just a bunch of shit coins. So there is an approval process you have to go through. But yeah, you can create your own token. We'll deposit it. It gets distributed. These are all, everything I could talk about the things that are planned. Oh, I mentioned the WordPress widget. That's not done yet, but that's not that difficult.
Okay. So maybe what I think would be beneficial is, and I actually signed for your platform, and I'm now verified. I've got a check mark next to my name now for the first time. But
you're legit.
Maybe what I want to know is, who do you envision as the prime candidate or type of candidate for your site in from the jump? And maybe walk me through the steps from I'm interested to I'm on the site to I'm registered to I've created my own coin and my own platform and my own sort of banking cabal of members of my community, if you will, and maybe walk me through the process. People have an idea for how easy or difficult it might be for them and what the steps actually are.
Okay, well, I feel like I might have interrupted what you're going to say before about the worries or concerns or that people have. Is it just that we haven't launched these features yet, or is there more to that that you're going to say? Because I do want to hear this.
Sure. Essentially, the family of concerns or objections or points being brought to my attention are, number one, it's barely launched, or there was concerns it wasn't going to launch, you know, a couple of days ago or whatever. It's never quite certain until it goes. Then number two is, and I know we had talked about this before, but some folks don't like that they are limited to only using the Binance network, smart chain network. And number three, I guess, is I've heard this maybe from two or three people, so I guess it's worth bringing up, is the steps to, and this is kind of why I transferred into this, the steps to, like if I click on your site, the steps that lead me towards being a participant in your site, it feels not seamless or not frictionless. And so maybe there's, and maybe that's a preference thing, but I mean, I know that I was like kind of a dumbass and I was like, hey, I sent you a screenshot. I can't do this. And you're like, oh yeah, but did you enter into these two fields? And I looked and it was like, yeah, okay. But you know, I didn't visually connect that I was supposed to click on there and enter some information. So I guess that's probably the number one concern that has been raised to me in conversations.
I appreciate that. So we launched on Binance Smart Chain because Binance has the most users and it's the cheapest fees. So like you can donate and you don't get these crazy fees, which we always thought made the most sense, because why would you donate and then get all these fees? But that being said, I'm going to throw my phone over here because people are beeping me. That being said, we're launching Ethereum and Matic. It's ready to go, but we're just kind of waiting to roll those out, just stage them in. But that'll be launched in a couple of weeks, probably like 4 weeks. We'll launch Ethereum and Matic. One thing that I'm a little bit hesitant on is, you know, a different smart chain would be a different token. So with Ethereum, we were planning the Fuego token, you know, part of the Ego line. And we're going to hold with that plan. And then we had the Amigo token for Matic, but I don't like all these tokens. So we're kind of like, I would love to have just like an influencer come in and just like with their token, or maybe even an existing company of some kind, and just like bring their token in as the base token where they could help promote it, and it would have like some like real utility even outside of our platform. I just don't like having three tokens on our platform. I feel like it's too much, especially right away. So we're going to stick with the Fuego token, I'm pretty sure, unless Britney Spears comes knocking on our door and says, hey, can I be your Ethereum token? Then we'd be like, yeah, you can be our base Ethereum token. And we're open to those ideas, by the way, if anybody's listening. If you have use case idea outside of our platform, we obviously have the use case on our platform. We can make you the base token for a new smart chain. So that's all coming. And I think that'll solve the problem. I mean, the Ethereum fees are just, the gas fees are absurd. It's a huge downer. The cool thing about our platform, though, is if somebody's staking and they claim the money, like if they're getting a percent and the person's getting a percent and they claim the money, then the money automatically gets distributed to the artist and the artist pays nothing. So the artist will only pay a fee if they claim it themselves. And again, the fees on Binance Smart Chain are like a few cents, not a big deal. The fees on Ethereum are a big deal. So that's just something to keep in mind. You know, it could very easily be, if the artist isn't worried about claiming, like they could never claim and still get all their funds. I don't know what other concern you said, but the smart chain. Oh, as far as signing up, I've had people say it was an easy process. I do think that there's some things about the site that are a little bit confusing, and signing up is one. You need a MetaMask wallet. That's key. Sometimes MetaMask, it's like not our fault, like, but sometimes if you've like messed around with MetaMask, like you'll have to like open it up and then reconnect on MetaMask. So that causes confusion. So all I can say is we'll work to improve it. I know it's not perfect yet. We've run into a couple issues that aren't worth getting into right now. I'll just say the one issue we had is we forgot or didn't plan around, like, you're allowed to change your address after you create an account. Users could still change their address. Well, this creates an issue with smart contracts. So we discovered right away that, oh, wait, like, that's not good. You change your address, the smart contract that's been written when somebody stakes on you is on that address, like changing your account. So now you can't change your address. If you do change your address, you'll lose verification, and then we can re-verify a new address, a new account with a new address. Because, and then when you lose verification, then nobody else can stake on there, but you don't lose what's being staked. So it's still going to that old address. And then of course you would want to let your people know to go to your new account, but if they don't, then you still have money coming into that account. So these are like, we've run it, and there is, we can fix that in the smart contract, but that's going to be some development. We got to figure that out. Just, this is getting a little bit technical, but the point is we run into some issues early on, and I understand people not wanting to jump onto a new app. I mean, this is something that's never been done before. So there are going to be some issues, but we have had 3 security audits. I don't know of any crypto company, I'm sure they have, but they've had 3 security audits before you launch. And I just was like, you know, dealing with people's money, let's just do 3. We did it with Solidity, Quill, and Certik. Solidity and Quill are done, and we passed flying colors. I mean, there were some issues that we, you know, resolved, and then, you know, we got basically like perfect scores. Certik is Binance affiliated. Like, they're a very legit company, security audit company, and they gave us our preliminary, which is great. They had a few things. It was more like, it didn't have to do with the code and stuff like that. It was more like certain processes, and they wanted things to be a little more decentralized and how we handle certain areas, and we're doing what they want us to do. That review will be done in a couple of weeks. They just take their time. They, you know, they do a great job. They're like handle a bunch of big clients. The cool thing about Certik is they never promote or even like share results on their Twitter of people that they've reviewed. But they said they would do it for us because they really like this project. So we're excited about that, and that should be done in a couple of weeks. So as far as security, and we've done everything possible, and I got really lucky. This is another thing where it was like early on, I was like, oh wait, this idea has legs, because people don't realize, like, if you are a programmer, a good programmer in the crypto industry right now, you don't have a problem finding a job. And if you're looking for a programmer and you're trying to launch a project, good luck. Because you're going to have to convince them that that your project's worth them putting their time into. And I was able to connect with a very, very good team. And these guys they're really good. So the code is, we made it as simple as possible for what we're doing. What the code does, what the smart contract does, is it essentially, somebody stakes on an organization. What they're doing is, We're just taking that money and depositing on existing DeFi platforms, protocols, where it's like, we only work with like the biggest and most secure that already have billions and billions of dollars on their platforms.
Do you function with the DAO as your wallet, or how is that organized?
No. So essentially, like, they stake, we just execute like a deposit and a withdrawal. So when you deposit, it just deposits. It's and then when you withdraw, it just withdraws, and then the interest gets split how it was agreed upon in the smart contract to begin with. So like that's literally all we're doing.
I read through your light paper and looked at the infographics and stuff that you had on there. So I was just kind of curious about your own wallet, if that's like an autonomous situation that's just does things automatically, or if you run batches, or how that kind of goes.
It just does it automatically. Yeah.
Okay.
It just does it automatically. And then, so yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, I think maybe let's shift gears here, because we got into the boring technical weeds, which is okay. I mean, I'm into it, but not everybody's into it.
Yeah.
But let's what I want to know, and I'm gonna front load this by telling you and telling the audience why I'm enthusiastic about your platform. I'm enthusiastic about your platform because in my world, I'm trying to facilitate the growth of others by helping them realize what's of value in them and then putting it out into the world and creating the most efficient ways for people to find and interact with that content and additional content down the road. I mean, basically a content funnel, but I'm the facilitator of making those things happen. And what I really like about your platform is it's something that I can say to a person that I'm working with, look, man, right off the bat, there's no reason why you shouldn't go do this. It offers you this opportunity to have, it could be one person who's staking on you and you're getting 50 cents a month, but it's 50 cents a month more than you were getting before. And it helps you have this platform to build on, and your audience knows where to go to find what you're doing and to help support what you're doing. And they get to circumvent the banks. They get to circumvent the paymasters because it's all about you and within your ecosystem, and PayPal and the banks and the credit card companies. Well, you might involve them later if you're going to go like cash out on Coinbase or something, or whatever you're going to do. But until then, it stays within your ecosystem and the creator's ecosystem. So I really like that as a platform for me to help people get the ball rolling on their thing, or to consolidate a place where people can come and find that person. And the ability, like you mentioned, to craft the platform to their specific needs, or to integrate your platform into their existing platform, is really attractive to me too. Because if somebody's got some of the steps knocked out, I can say, hey, here's an addition that will elevate your game. Okay, so that's why I'm enthusiastic about it, because it helps me facilitate better. And it's a very simple thing to do that I can show people how to use, that lets me show them that there are more ways than they're currently using to do what they want to do. So kind of with that in mind, I just wonder, like, and I kind of touched on this before, but who do you think right now are the best use case scenarios? Who should be coming on your platform right now? I mean, ideally you want everybody, but if somebody was going to come right now and you were going to pick from a list of 10 people, what would the characteristics of the person you picked be?
Well, we want everybody, and we want normal people that don't get in trouble all the time. But the obvious thing is people that have had issues with PayPal and the banks. We have a solution. I don't understand why some of them aren't as responsive as they've been, but we have a lot of signups, so I'm not complaining. I'm just saying there's a few people out there that, like, you know, it's like, you guys complain about the big banks and PayPal all the time, so just join. Like, what do you have to lose? It's a weird thing when you ask somebody to join your platform and they don't do it. And you're like, wait a second. Don't you like complain about the big banks and PayPal like all the time? Like, didn't they just like
you? You like, care to name names, or are you going to
sideways on that? They're going to join the platform soon. You know, They'll join. They'll all join. There's no reason. Well, I mean, I shouldn't even be referencing them, I guess, but it's odd to me. And I think some people want to be incentivized straight up. And like, maybe I haven't made that offer. So that could be it too. And people are always skeptical to something new. And I totally understand that. People can be haters as well. Maybe they don't like me personally. I don't know what it is, you know? I think I try to be a nice guy and pretty neutral. I just keep to myself. I'm a family guy. I have no life. I like literally do nothing. So I don't think they dislike me. But at any rate, the point is like there's some people out there that they should just join. There's no. Also, some people haven't joined because they're part of other platforms and they see this as a donation platform and they think I don't want to make those people mad. And I think I've gotten some hesitancy because of that, which to me were a completely different way to donate. I'd actually like to work with those other platforms and collaborate, but that doesn't mean that they want to collaborate with me because they might see us as a threat. So there's definitely some of that going on as well, which I totally understand because some people are friends with like Dave Rubin, for example, right? At Locals. They're on the platform. They're making money. They want to get invited on Dave Rubin's show, right? Like, he's kind of got that power. I don't have any of that power. I'm a nobody, right? All I have is an app that I just developed, right? So I have to accumulate power through other people on the platform and through building our brand and leveraging whatever I can leverage beyond just the app to just attract some of these big players to the platform that will then promote it. Because what we've created is, I mean, for me, it's a better way to donate. It's super cool. It does go around the issues of PayPal and the big banks. And so people that are hesitant, you know, they need to be straight up because I do kind of speculate why they're hesitant. Usually they don't just like tell me. But I think a lot of people will join because there's absolutely no reason not to. So, but we have a lot of signups. I mean, all that said, we have a bunch of signups and we're adding more every day. So I think we're around probably like 75 something. I don't know. We're adding more every day. And, you know, I would love to see churches. I would love to see, you know, in my dream world, there's like townships that are like raising money for like park benches and like telling their crypto people to like stake on their fund to raise money for, you know, this and that. Just like, it's like a voluntary tax system almost, right? Where you're just like, you stake your money, you split the interest, you support your local town. You could support your local church. You could support your local whatever has signed up. Now, by the time we get to that point, we're going to be huge, right? Mm-hmm. Another feature I really like that I didn't talk about earlier and that we're adding in like a week. I mean, it's done. They're just like making the design a little prettier is the blog. And the blog is super cool because like it's a blog, big deal, right? But like you can stake on the blogger and like, You can be completely anonymous on our platform. So you could anonymously be blogging things. It could be like a WikiLeaks situation where people could be dropping intel, exposing corruption at different institutions, corporations, schools, education system. Like there could be all that, and you could actually stake on their profile to support them. And you can make one-time donations and stuff like that too, of course. But like that's pretty cool. And that's, you know, and then we're going to have the staking wall or the paywall that could be optional with that too. But I've never been a big paywall guy myself, but a lot of people leverage that through Patreon and it's a model that works for people. We will have that. But the idea of anonymously blogging, like, and you know, you're going to have steady revenue from it. That could be really powerful. Hmm.
So that that sort of makes me want to jump on something that you're talking about, which I think is a very important aspect of what you're doing and is something that I think moving forward, more and more systems are going to have to be developed around this principle, which is this sort of integrated symbiosis of a number of different features that people are currently using individually, coming together in a singular platform. And, you know, you talked about the blog just now, and, you know, you kind of talked about a crowdfunding situation, a la GoFundMe or something like that, but also the Patreon model where you're either supporting individuals long-term or you're donating directly to a cause that's trying to do a specific thing. And I know that we've also talked about another feature that's coming on board. And I also understand this one's maybe not quite ready, but is coming soon. And that's the sort of Instagram feature where the feed is going to be based around NFTs that will stay in your feed, and then your supporters will be able to sort of buy the rights to have that appear on their feed as well. And I think that's something that is a massive, massive potential. And I wonder maybe if you could talk about that specifically, and then about the broader principle of consolidating functions into a single platform for ease of use and frictionless use.
So as far as the NFTs, I really like the use case for NFT airdrops for people that are staking, and you can get tickets to a show, VIP access, right? Like rewards for staking. Because that use case is just so practical and easy. And it's also easy to implement for us. That's not going to take much time and cost much money. Now, the grander concept that we've laid out, that we have done the research for it, we know the time and the resources that it will take to execute it, is the social NFTs, which is like an Instagram where you can leave comments, everything's for sale. When you buy somebody's NFT, you're buying real estate on their social media, so it'll say that you're the buyer, that the NFT and the comments underneath it will appear on your profile, but it'll also stay on the artist or influencers or whatever profile that you bought it from. So it's like cross promotion. It's goes beyond what any NFT is doing right now. That is something that I'm not talking about as much because we really want to get what we did right now, what we've released, perfect. We want to make sure it's perfect. And, you know, that will take a certain amount of resources that, I mean, we do have, but we also have to prioritize. We don't have like millions and millions and millions of dollars in funding. We do have a lot of equity. We do have a lot of tokens. So if anybody's listening and they're interested, we've built something that's never been done before and I think can change the world. But that being said, we would like to do it. It's just like we have to, like, you know, once you launch an app, it's kind of a wake-up call because it's like, okay, like here's something that, you know, that we need to streamline the sign-up process. We may need to make this better. So we just want to make this perfect for what we have because what we have is so powerful. The social NFTs is super powerful too. There's other organizations that are developing something sort of similar, I guess, when you see it. They call themselves like Glam. We're Glam. Like some generic name with like a bunch of women's booties like hanging out, and that's their like advertising, and they've raised like $10 million for their like garbage platform that's gonna come out. Like that's how the crypto industry works. Oh look, I bought a digital pet rock for $2 million. Ha ha ha. Nihilism on steroids. That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, I just want to kick all that in the face with this platform. I want to like inspire real change. I want to just inspire people to use our tool however the heck they want to. But like, the crypto space and what it's turned into with these NFTs is, it's just reflective of the society that we live in now. So we live in a society where you just can't talk about real problems and real issues because it'll get you in trouble. So you'd rather just make a digital pet rock and laugh about like that it's funny because now it's worth a lot of money and that's funny. And that's all everybody talks about when they're supposed to be like taking over the banking system, was kind of like the original purpose of crypto. And so there's just a bunch of gutless cowards out there, like making a bunch of money. I mean, the crypto industry is, you know, you have these launch pads and it's like a circle that, you know, I'm not trying to be a hater because I'm not in the circle or something, but it's just a fact. Like there's these launch pads, they launch projects. Most projects never really turn into anything. And then they launch another project and they're all like friends. And they have like a couple thousand investors in their launch pad. They pump up the price, then retail gets excited and gets involved, and then they all dump on retail. And then sometimes if it's a legit project, the price will go back up, right? So it's not like everybody always gets screwed, but that's how these launch pads work. And it's like, it's crazy. So that's the crypto industry. And that's why everyone thinks everything's a scam. We did not launch with a launch pad. It's much harder. Now we have to like earn every investor, not investor, every participant in our token economy. Everybody that bought the token, we have to earn it all. Like we don't have this. So we're looking for partnerships to take some shortcuts. I feel like we have an amazing tool that should attract some big players for sure. The other thing is that we're looking for is, you know, I have no influence on social media personally. What we have is a great tool. We have a bunch of influencers that have signed up, but you know, we were looking for some of those partnerships with influencers where they really love what we've done and they're not afraid to talk about it, you know? So we're looking for that as well. And, you know, we did not take much money. We our equity is basically all ours. Token distribution, like it's basically all ours. It's not all ours, but like we did not take much money. So we have a lot of leverage moving forward. And so we're looking for the right types of partnerships where we can leverage that, what we have, because we have something great.
I want to just jump in for a second here and just audience. Did you hear what was just said? I mean, just like maybe rewind that for a second and listen, because there's something there for you to pick up. It's not, you know, I mean, I've made it obvious now, but there it is for you. Just think about it. Okay. Which that my interlude here allows me to jump in and frame this in a little bit different way. And I just want to kind of kick it back on you for a second. And my question to you is, let's say that you, Jesse, or Let's Go, if you were the market makers, you know, if you were the launch pad,
excuse me,
what would your, let's call it a more principled practice of being the market maker look like? I mean, how would you look for projects that were worth backing, and how would you do something different than sort of the pump and dump of the current sort of shitcoin trend?
If I were them, I'd probably do nothing different. I mean, because it works. I mean, the model, they're there to make money. They're there to make money. That's it. I mean, that's like, they're printing money through these projects. It's insane. Their whole model is crazy. So if that is the model, like the model of the launch pad is just to pump up the value of a token. You get thousands of investors involved, or token participants, I think is what you say. I don't think that's what you say. I know that's what you say if you live in the United States. And you know, the SEC.
Gotta be careful, I guess.
Yeah, have to be careful. We did not have any investors for sure. So at any rate. But you know, the point is that, that's the model. So we talked to like the number one launch pad. They were actually going to launch us in a week before the market crashed. So they said, let's pause. So, and then we just never reconnected with them. So they had a very big offer for us and they were going to launch us and we were going to let it happen. It never happened. You know, like we came out of nowhere. These guys all know each other. They've all been going to the same conferences for years. They're all friends, you know? Like if you look at a lot of these projects, it's like, this person's an investor for this. This person's an investor for this. And it's like, oh, that's cool. And then the next project's like, the person that was just an investor is now the CEO. And the person they just invested in is now an investor in that project. It's just circular. There's a lot of that going on. So, and they do produce products over time, some of which provide crazy value, like these DeFi projects I got into. Well, I would assume, I don't even know, but they probably came from launch pads. But you know what? There's some great projects out there that did not come from launch pads. So there's multiple ways of doing it. If you don't go with a launch pad, you need a way to find participants on your platform. That's key. So we didn't go with a launch pad. It makes it harder. What we need is partnerships that make sense, and we need to make a big splash. So we're planning an ad rollout here in the next couple of weeks that I think is going to create a lot of discussion about what we've done here. Sorry, I just got some beeps, but we're going to create an ad rollout that's going to create a lot of discussion, possibly some controversy, and then I think a lot of influencers are going to want to share where we attack PayPal and the big banks and really relate people on relate to people in a way that people will rally behind. Another thing is, like, as far as like kind of going mainstream with this as much as possible, it's hard as a crypto company because you're a crypto company. I mean, it's just like the crypto industry is very jaded. The crypto industry thinks everything's a scam. I mean, here's what I've found out. I've private messaged probably over 1,000 people about this project. Not probably, definitely over 1,000 people about this project.
I like the hustle.
It doesn't work. I have to go out front. I have to be in front. It's the only way. It's the only, because the crypto people won't listen to me because they don't realize that our app is, now it's live. It's a little easier, I'd imagine. But before it was just an idea. And so they would think it's just a scam. I'm not going to listen to it. I don't care. And then the non-crypto people are like, crypto? Okay. So it's hard. And especially since it wasn't live. Now that it's live, it probably would be easier. But I told somebody I work with last night. I was like, because I wrote out the script for this ad that we're going to be launching. We have to tape it. As soon as I'm done being sick and gross, I will tape it. But I told him, I was like, I'm done private messaging people. I just can't do it anymore. I'm done. I'm tired of just being like, oh, will you respond to me, sir, please? You know, like, I'm sick of that. So I have to just get out. I don't like to do it. I'm not a public guy, but this product, this tool that we've created is worth it. Like, I put eight months of my life developing it, but you know, the developers themselves, 5 or 6 months. It's just like, it deserves representation, and there's nobody else that understands it. There's people that understand it, but that can express the enthusiasm for it as well as me. So I'm going to have to be the guy that goes out and just turns on the camera and starts talking, you know, and I don't have a choice because that's what's necessary. I'm pretty confident that once I start doing that, in addition to the ad rollout, well, people can decide, I think this is really cool. This Jesse Herman guy has something here, or this Jesse Herman guy is an asshole. I don't like him. He's kind of weird. So they can fall under the two categories, but I don't have to private message people and beg anymore because I'm sick of that. So they'll make their decision before I ever message them, or they might message me before I have to ever message them. But I have to start being public because private messaging, it works. I mean, there's I've gotten far with private message. Like, I'll say this, like the first really big client I got in the influencer space, I connected with him because he was stealing my content, you know, and another working on it. So yeah, I got him through like private messaging, but there was something there, you know, because I was like, hey dude, you're using my content. It's cool if you can just like tag me or something, you know, and then he just hired me. So, you know, private messaging is fine, but private messaging, if like, let's say I post a video and then like somebody, you notice that they liked it or like, you know, they interacted through a retweet on somebody else's profile or something, like you could see that and then you could private message them. At least there's some connection there. But private messaging, like it's like a cold call. It just doesn't work. I mean, it's not working for me. I'm too old for that crap. I have to just be a man about it. Stand in front of a camera and talk. At least for the next couple of months while we get this momentum going for the app, you know.
And I mean, there's a couple important points that I just want to touch on that you hit. I think one of the most important points that you were hinting at there is there's a process. There's a series of steps between unfamiliar with your product or service, to being involved with your product or service is not just usually one step, and having your foot in the door by creating something that people find some value in, and then saying, hey, if you find value in this, you can find value in this. It gives you it decreases friction, and it gives you permission. It gives you a permission that you wouldn't have otherwise had, because they've volunteered their attention and you're offering them the opportunity to pay more of their attention to what you're doing. So I really like that. And the other thing that you mentioned, which I think is pretty valuable and worth talking about, is sometimes you have to just say what you're about. Say what you're about, say what you mean, and take a stand on your principles. Because if you don't, if you're wishy-washy, I mean, people want wishy-washy less than they want the opposite of what they want in a lot of cases. And the only way that a niche can become an entire ecosystem is through domination. And you're not going to dominate a niche if you're like pussyfooting into the, it's like, okay, if we're coming to take this space, we're taking it by storm, and then we're going to grow this space into the space. And so, you know, I like the fact that you're just saying, you know what, I need to have a little bit of testicular fortitude here and straighten my back and just have a go at it, because there's no other way that I can get this out there and make a splash using my own skills that I have available to me. So, you know, I applaud that. And I think you're right that by you taking a stand and saying, this is what I'm for, this is what I'm against, and here's your opportunity to take part in this. Yeah, you're not going to make everybody happy, but the people that are into what you're doing, it then becomes a no-brainer. It's like, this guy aligns with my principles, I want to support what he's doing. And to be honest, you know, I liked your project, but then we had a conversation and I felt I align with this guy on a lot of the things that he's talking about here. I want to support him. And I'm not alone in having that sentiment happen. You know, when somebody agrees with you, you're like, hey, that person agrees with me, they're probably smart. So I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. And I guess to land this back and just kind of bring it back to the topic at hand, I wonder, was there a specific moment, or was there a collection of things that led to a specific moment where you just decided, you know what, I got this idea, I got to make it happen the first time, because you kind of explained, this is where I got to the point where I had to make this next level happen. But what was your life circumstance or your thinking leading up to the moment where you said, I got to press the trigger on this and make it happen?
Well, I mean, this is one of those things where I've kind of gone back and forth a little bit, where like, should I tell people what actually spurred this on? Because it would put me in a certain category. But I don't care anymore. It was January 6th. You know, because I already had the idea for this platform and I wasn't pursuing it because I had a nice life before this crypto thing. It was a lot less stressful, to be honest. And I knew that this would be, I just knew that I would face a lot of obstacles. I'd have to put myself out there. I'm a private person. I don't want to put myself out there. And I knew that I would face this moment that I'm quickly approaching. It's coming. I've also gone through a number of things just to get this launched, which I'm not going to get into, but like, it hasn't been all roses. But, you know, for a while, people were losing access to social media profiles, including myself. It cost me a lot of money, like seven figures, and I'm, you know, a lot of money. Really, really made me angry. But, you know, people kept losing access to banking and PayPal for sure. Patreon was banning people, but that was just because of the credit card processors. But January, everything accelerated, right? I mean, everything accelerated. It's like everybody that they wanted an excuse to clamp down on, they clamped down on. And I was just like, I do not have a choice, do I? Like, I have to do this because this is actually could be, if we can execute it, a solution to the problem, or at least a solution to the problem. Maybe not the solution, but it's a solution to the problem. The problem being big banks, credit card companies, and PayPal not letting people participate in the economy. That's a problem. And a lot of these people are good people that aren't even like radical. They just have like the same beliefs the majority of Americans believe. And, you know, did I already mention it? I know I mentioned another show, but the whole thing with PayPal taking their money out of North Carolina because North Carolina had a transgender bathroom law, like, that's not normal. That's not normal for most Americans. That's radical. That's radical left. And so they are behaving like activists, an activist organization that does not resemble what the vast majority of Americans believe. So, you know, like, do I want to tell people that, you know, storming the Capitol kind of motivated this project? I don't know, you know, not really. I don't want to tell people.
I mean, I guess you just did.
But I just did. And you know what? Like, it's far less radical for me to launch this because of that than I think pulling your business out of North Carolina because you want trannies to go pee pee next to your little boy. Like, I just, so weird, man. Like, who wants that? By the way, I'm like sweating a little bit. It's like ridiculous. I just don't feel well, just so everybody knows I have the flu. But, you know, yeah. What's up, Smith Graham? We're getting comments. But yeah, like, so that's it. I saw what happened and it pissed me off, you know, and it pissed me off. And I was already pissed off because of social media and everything else. I could talk about my former clients, but I don't talk about former clients just because it doesn't do them any good for me to talk about them. But I did work with one of the most censored political commentators, like, of all time, like, you know, getting banned.
Maybe the most.
Yeah. Yeah. And the guy I worked with on the alternative health space is like completely, like, you know, I mean, the amount of spam and trolls and like vicious attacks we had to deal with him actually was more than anybody I've dealt with in the political space. So I've been fighting this battle for years, and free speech was a big motivator for me. And with that, and then, you know, like, you know, being able to pay somebody is like the root of like everything, right? Like being able to transact goods is so important to everything that, you know, if we could solve that problem, if we can provide a solution for people that don't have other solutions for recurring donations, because yeah, there's PayPal or there's Bitcoin payments. There's other ways to send payments to people, but recurring donations is an important business model to have. If you ever had like a store, you know, like an online store, if you can lock people in on a monthly recurring order, you know that you're getting that money in, you know, month after month. It's really nice. You can build businesses around it. You can build a life around that stuff. So this is that. We provide that. And yeah, January 6th was definitely a motivator. I actually was just like, if that didn't happen, I probably could have just not done this and been like, you know, whatever. I'd rather just not deal with that BS anyways and, you know, stake my money somewhere else and get my interest and be cool with it. But when that happened, it just was like, and the media just lies. They just lie and lie and lie. They could take this clip with like me, like starting to sweat and look disgusting because I have the flu. But anyways, yeah, like, you know, they'll distort and lie about like literally everything. It just never stops. And they take over everything. Like back when we did the Facebook, we owned Facebook. Like it wasn't like CNN like couldn't compete. Like they didn't exist on Facebook. We just like dominated everything. They had no chance. Now there's like, yeah, they don't do as well as like the Daily Wire because the Daily Wire is allowed to exist on Facebook. But like they used to not do as well as anybody. I mean, it was like, if you're a top 50 conservative page, you're like dominating CNN back then, or a top 100, probably top 500, honestly. It was like so crazy. And they lost complete control of the narrative. So it started there. And then they moved on to the financial system because like just banning people from social media wasn't enough. Then they had to take away their revenue sources and really make their lives miserable. So that's why, you know, this is a solution. Haters can hate. They can say crypto sucks. It's like whatever and hate on the idea. But, you know, come up with a better idea for recurring donations for people that don't have other options. I'm open to hearing it. I had this idea. It was strong enough that I was able to make it happen and spend 8 months of my life to make it happen. And I just urge anybody that's listening, like, just join. Like, just join. I want you to be controversial, honestly. We want headlines. We want to raise money for people that they don't want us to raise money for. I don't care. If I don't like these people. The people that will get mad at me for this, I don't like them. I don't like you. If you're mad at me for doing this, I don't like you and I don't care about your opinion. So that's my thoughts on it.
I like it.
These people are satanic. They're just not good for society in any way. And I'm done with it. They don't reflect the values of normal Americans, yet they control everything. Mm. And they is being whoever you want they to be. It's the people in power. It's the institutions. It's whatever, you know? So
sure. And look, from my standpoint, some of the themes you've been talking about are emerging in a lot of other areas. Some of them, you know, they don't even want you to talk about at all. You don't even bring up the subjects. But what is becoming more and more, I think, the direction that some of these, let's call them alarming trends or concerning trends, are heading in is an ideological passport. It doesn't have to be a passport for a certain pharmaceutical or another. It's the idea that if you don't hold or at least pay lip service to certain ideas in your life, you don't get to participate in the rest of the world. You're out on your own. You're automatically a lone wolf. I sent a tweet out today, and the tweet was, separate your enemy from their tribe because they'll die when they're alone. And that's exactly what they've been doing. The people who have a certain ideological agenda that they want pushed beyond any sort of reasonable discourse, it's just their way or the highway, is, oh, look, there's a person who's got a differing opinion from us and they're making some traction. Let's cut them off from the banks. Let's cut them off from the social media. Let's cut them off from any service that we have our greedy little fingers in. And then let's defame them on those same places, the same platforms that they now have no recourse to defend themselves on or to counter the narrative on. And sure, some of the, you know, the great names or the big names in these people who've been cut off from the rest of the world have their own platforms. Like Alex Jones is doing fine money wise, for example, because he already had a bunch of people who are all about Alex Jones. And when he got kicked off, they're like, yeah, we're going with Alex. You know, who cares about Twitter? I was here for Alex in the first place. But some people don't feel like that. And they don't want to go give Alex Jones, you know, $10 or whatever to buy a t-shirt or to subscribe to whatever. And so there he's erased from 99% of the audience he might have used to had. And sure, he's got a great core audience, but what if you get erased before you have such a thing? Then you're just finished. Oh, and by the way, your job's been checking your social media and you're fired because you have an opinion that's different than the corporately held company line. And by the way, you can't get a government job now because you're a radical nationalistic terrorist or something. Oh, and by the way, you can't use the banks, you can't use the credit cards. So now it's like cash money only. And if you have a certain amount of cash, then, you know, the cops might take it with civil asset forfeiture. Who knows? You might just get pulled over. You might be targeted for pulling over. You might get swatted, like my friend Jack Murphy got swatted. You know, there's all these different ways. And what are you supposed to do? Go on Gab and say, these guys are dicks. You know, that's not an effective solution. But if you can get some money coming into you, come on, man. It's like you talked about early on. The cryptocurrency world was born to put a dagger in the heart of the banking cabal. And what you have done is said, okay, that's a great idea. Let's actually do something about that. And so you're taking a step. And so I just want to reiterate sort of your last point before I jumped in with this rant is, look, man, you did it. You built a thing that's up and running. It's available for people to use. If somebody wants to talk trash on that, cool, man, talk some trash, but go build something that's better. And I have a sneaking suspicion that if somebody built something that served the community that you're trying to serve, which is everybody, by the way, but, you know, especially people who don't have another outlet, if somebody did a better job than you did, I bet you'd give them the thumbs up because it's more about that for you. And so I guess, you know, we've crossed, you know, into like an hour and 5 minutes here on this podcast. And I don't want to beat people over the head with this, but given that we've gone through, you know, the technical weeds, given that we've kind of talked about your journey and sort of the where you've met this friction and then decided to push through, and then it's a whole new world on the other side. And I suspect you're going to hit a few more of those in the next 6 months to a year. And that's going to be challenging for you. And I probably want to talk to you again and say, hey, man, you made it to the next level. What's that look like? But kind of keeping all those things in mind, what is the takeaway besides come use my platform that you hope people walk away from this conversation with? And then, you know, tell them how to get to the platform. Tell them where to find you on social. Tell them the instructions if they want to pursue what you have to offer after this conversation ends.
Okay, so you can find us at twitter.com/letsgofinance and Telegram at Let's Go Official. And then we have a Gab account, a Minds.com account. You know, I think we're on YouTube. I'm going to try to be more active on a lot of different platforms. But essentially, the takeaway is that, you know, I'm a guy that found a lot of success and within parameters that were given to us to succeed. I succeeded, and then they took it away. And I'm trying to help people that were succeeding within parameters and it was taken away. And I'm also trying to help people that didn't get it taken away, but everyone's affected by it. You know, like just because you're like, let's say you're a construction worker or, you know, you're a school teacher or whatever, and nothing got taken away. You might have been following those people, right? Like you support them. You know, and or you just don't like the fact that the censorship is taking place at all. And you do just know that alternatives need to exist, you know. So I'm honestly not a radical person. I swear to you, I am not a radical person. I'm a father of three. I like to go fishing. I'm a very boring person, you know. What do I do that's, you know, I mean, my wife will tell you I'm a boring person. Sometimes I don't do most exciting things like she wants, you know, as far as, you know, concerts and everything, I'd rather just chill at home, you know? But you know, like all these people, you know, got at least their online lives and revenue completely disrupted, and it allowed, you know, CNN and big tech and all these people like to take the narrative back. So, you know, this is just a solution to that. And I think that, you know, with my background and the billions of views that I've created for some of my controversial clients, that we can kind of channel that energy and put it into this. And with our network of influencers that we have, we can produce some content that everybody wants to share. Once people start making money on the platform, people will be motivated to just promote themselves. It's going to take off. You know, I think that's a terrible pitch to close the stream. But, you know, if you're kind of fed up like me, then check out the platform. I guess that's the bottom line.
Well, for my part, you wouldn't be here if I hadn't checked out the platform and been enthusiastic about it. So whatever my credibility is with you, dear audience, please at least go check the platform out, because it's a great idea and we need it in the world right now if we're going to continue to be able to have the opportunity to speak freely about the things that we actually believe. We got to stand on our principles, and then we have to actually say them and have a platform that allows us to do that. That's what Jesse's trying to make. That's what I'm trying to support him in doing, and that's what I hope that you'll support him in doing. So please, if you would, letsgo.finance is the website. Follow him on Twitter, follow him on all the social stuff, but go participate in the platform first. All you got to do is put your name on there. If you got some crypto, you want to stake it, you want to get a little interest and share it with somebody that you like. I mean, I'm on there. You could share it with me. I'll be more than happy to accept your donation. Thank you very much. But participate in the platform. It'll only take you a few seconds to set up an account. And from there, who knows? You might actually find that people want to support what you're doing. And there's my allure of being paid pitch for you. But seriously, go check it out. And if you have principles, you might like to talk about them on there and not be worried about getting kicked off.
Or maybe you know a blogger or your church or a charity that you like. Charities can be a little weird because the churches are like a perfect fit for our platform. You know, a blogger, a publisher, an artist, a musician, like all these people should be on. So if it's not you that should join the platform, you know somebody that should join the platform. Let them know. So.
Word up. Well, look, Jesse, foremost here, I want to thank you for taking the time to come talk to me about Let's Go and about yourself. I know that sometimes is uncomfortable, but people want to get involved with the people that they're getting involved with. You know what I mean? So I appreciate your openness and willingness to talk about some things that were maybe not the most comfortable things for you to talk about. And I'm really looking forward to watching your platform develop. And I just got to tell you on a personal level, I'm looking and I'm watching your platform carefully, because if it succeeds, I'm going to be using it as a potent tool in my own arsenal. So I really want it to succeed. So, you know, best of luck. And, you know, unless there's any final thoughts that you have to offer to the audience, I think we can call it good.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Chance. I really appreciate it. And I'll come back in a few months. We'll talk about what happened.
Very good. Well, in that case, I'm Chance Lunsford. I'm Uncommon. This is Jesse Herman. He's Uncommon. And if you're listening or watching this podcast, you're also Uncommon. And I hope you'll make something out of that. For now, thank you for tuning in. And we'll catch you next time. Peace.